Hey, today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Hey. Today we have five sponsors for the Daf Yomi Shir, and they are. The daf is sponsored by David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously Lizuchus Rufu Shalema for Baruch Tzvi Ben Rivka Batya. Also by Menachem Gelbtach Lizecher Nishmas Menachem Mendel Ben Mordechai. Also by Avi and Ruchi Lenger Lizecher Nishmas Harav Nechemya Chaim Ben Rav Moshe Yonazatzal, my first grade Rebbe, and by Matthew Salzberger, Lezecher Nishmas, Freda Bas Yaakov, Aleha HaShalom. We're very, very moved by all of the people that have been coming to sponsor the daf lately. It's such a great chizik for us that the shir is appreciated. So we are holding on daf kuf dalet amud beis. We are at Tanya, a few lines from the bottom of the page. So two lines from the bottom of the page. So what we're going to discuss today, it's a packed daf again. We'll see what we can cover. First, we're going to talk about the requirement of kinuach v'hadacha in between eating milchigs and eating fleishigs. Then we're going to talk about how much time one is supposed to wait in between eating fleishigs and eating milchigs. Then we're going to talk about the requirement, or the hanhaga rather, the proper hanhaga of checking on your fields, checking on your nechasim on a consistent basis to make sure everything is going well. Then we're going to have the sugya of mayim rishonim and mayim achronim. And then on Amud Beis, almost the entire Amud Beis, is a list of eight different hanhagos that Abaye thought he understood the hanhaga until Rabba came along and told him that he was misunderstanding the hanhaga, that there was another reason for that particular hanhaga that people do. So again, we're at two lines on the bottom of the page. Kuf dalid amud beis tanya. Beishami omer mekaneach uveisil omer madiach. Beishami says, after you eat cheese, you have to clean out your mouth with something before eating meat. And Beisil says, you rinse out your mouth with water after eating cheese before eating meat. That's how Rashi and Rov Rishonim understand. The Rambam, the Ran, both say that hadacha that's mentioned over here does not mean hadachas pe, it means hadachas yadayim, that you have to wash your hands after eating cheese before eating meat. Fine. My mekaneach and my madiach. What is this mekaneach and madiach? What exactly is this machlokas between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel? So, ilim of Beis Shammai omrim mekaneach velo boy madiach. So, if you're going to say Beis Shammai holds that you only need to be mekaneach your mouth and you don't need to do hadacha, so that with water, you don't need to wash your mouth out with water. Beis Hillel says, no, you only need to wash out your mouth with water. There's no need to clean out your mouth with something else, with eating something. So then when Rabbi Zeira says that kinuach peh is only with bread, so he's going like the sheet of the Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel holds you don't need that at all. You don't need to do a kinuach peh. So why would he say something dafka according to the Beis Shammai? We don't pass like the Beis Shammai, obviously. Second possibility of what this machlokas means, that Beis Shammai says you should be mekaneach your mouth with achila, and you don't need to rinse out with water. Beis Hillel says you need both. You need to do an achila and rinse out with water, says the Gemara. But if that's the case, then here's an item that Beis Shammai is more makel on and Beis Hillel is more machmir on. Well, then listen, why isn't this mentioned in the Mishnayos and Edios about the amongst the Kuli Beis Shammai and the Chumr Beis Hillel? Ella Beis Shammai amr mekaneach v'hu adin l'madiach. Beis Hillel amr madiach v'hu adin l'mekaneach. Umar amuchad v'lo pligi. No, what you have to say is, a third interpretation is that there's in fact no machlokas here at all. That Beis Shammai says one of the requirements that you do, Beis Hillel mentions the other requirement that you do, but both of these things are a requirement. One needs to wash out his mouth with a food and rinse out his mouth with a liquid. And that's how Rashi interprets the Gemara. That's what the Rif writes. That's what Tosla says. However, the Rashba writes that according to both of them, you only need one or the other, mekaneach or madiach. The Gemara says mekaneach v'hu adin, madiach means v'hu adin, that madiach would work instead of mekaneach, and the same is that mekaneach would work even without madiach, because otherwise it should have said v'lo netziyot l'sidayim v'lo kinuach hapeh v'hadacha, when it comes to ofu gvina ne'echolen b'apikorin, that you could eat them b'efkerus. And why doesn't the Gemara mention hadacha? Must be that one of them alone is enough, because the Gemara earlier didn't mention hadacha, it only mentioned kinuach, so it must be, says the Rashba, that one of them is enough. We paskin like the Rov Rishonim that you need to do both. Gufa. So now going back to the to what Rabbi Zeira said. Amar Rabbi Zeira, ein kinuach hapeh ela bepas. That kinuach hapeh can only be done by eating bread, not anything else. Only bread really cleans out your mouth. Vani mili bedechiti. And when we say that bread works, that's only if it's wheat bread. Avol bedesari lo. If it's barley bread, it doesn't help for kinuach, because barley bread just crumbles a lot and is not gonna. It's not. It doesn't take on. It doesn't come together through the chewing, and therefore it's not going to do a good job cleaning out the mouth. Dechiti nami lamen el bekrira. And even wheat bread is only going to work if it's cold. Avol bechamima mishtar shatri. But if it's warm, then it becomes too soft at the time that you're chewing it. It connects to your palate, and it's not going to do a proper kinuach. And even when we say paschitim, that's cooled down, works for kinuach v'animili berakicha, avol bakusha lo. That's only if it's still soft. But if it's hardened wheat bread, then it's not going to work for kinuach. V'hilchasa b'kol mili avi kinuach levad mikimcha tamri v'yarka. Even though we gave such specific, exact requirements, it's got to be wheat bread, and it's got to be cold, and it's got to be soft. In the end of the day, everything works for kinuach. Any food will work for kinuach hapeh. After you eat cheese, you want to eat meat, you want to clean out your mouth, you can put any food in your mouth except for flour or dates or vegetables. Those are considered very soft things that will not work for kinuach hapeh. So those are the only things that a person should avoid for kinuach hapeh. The Torah in Archaim Simkufay and Gimel writes, chutz mikimcha de sa'ari. And that's how the Lush quotes as well, meaning when we say that kemach does not work, it means only barley kemach. Other kemachim are ra'ui l'kinuach. However, in Yoredei and Simon Peites, the Torah writes, stam chutz mikimcha. Sounds like our Gemara, that any kemach is no good, and that's what it sounds like in all the poskim as well. The Shach in Yoredei over there writes that it's a total sofer in the Torah. In the Knesset HaGadola, he's miyashiv the Torah with a little bit of a dochak, that when the Gemara says, vilchsa b'kal it's not going back, it's not retracting on the chilik that we made between chitim and sa'arim. It's being mefarish that the chilik was never stated legabe pas. The chilik was only stated legabe the flour. But if it's pas, you could do either one. But the Gemara did have such a tradition. It wasn't out of nowhere that we made this chilik between chitim and sa'arim. That's how the Torah Nor Chaim must have understood. Okay, so how much time do you have to wait? After you eat meat, how much time do you have to wait before eating cheese? Amrle, velokulum, you don't have to wait at all. Right after you eat meat, you can eat cheese. Says the Gemara, wow, if a person stops the Daf Yomi Shir right now, so this is life-changing. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that really so? V'amar Rav Chista, achol basar asul lechol gvina. Didn't Rav Chista tell us that if you ate meat, you're not allowed to eat cheese right away, meaning even after kinuach and hadacha, the way Rav Rishonim understand, that you're not allowed to eat, you have to wait a certain amount of time, as opposed to if you eat gvina, you're allowed to eat basar right away, as long as you do a kinuach v'hadacha kedin. Now, Tosos quotes some Rishonim that say that it doesn't make sense that there is no din of waiting between basar and gvina at all. Rav Chis is only talking about kinuach v'adacha, meaning after you eat basar, you're not allowed to eat gvina without kinuach v'adacha. But after gvina, you're allowed to eat basar even without kinuach v'adacha. But Pashas is, we're talking about actual waiting of time. So he says, Rav Chis says, if you ate meat, you're not allowed to eat gvina right away, because basar is very fatty and it leaves a certain film on your mouth and it leaves a taste. You can still taste it in your mouth. So if you eat cheese right away while the tam basar is still in your mouth, it's ki'ilu you're eating basar b'chalav. That's how Rashi understands. The Rambam writes that the reason is because of basar ben hashinayim, that when you do kinuach, sometimes there's pieces of meat stuck between your teeth that aren't going to go away. So the Torah writes that each of these reasons has a chumra and a kula. That according to Rashi, that the reason is because the tam basar b'piv, so that's only if you ate the basar, but if you didn't eat it, you just chewed on it, in order to be machil latinok, in order to feed it to a child, to soften it up for a baby, they didn't have a blender or something to pulverize something, so a parent would chew it and then give it to the child. So since you didn't really eat it, it's not motzi the tam of the basar so much, but mishum basar ben hashinayim, Rashi holds you don't have to be choshish for, because you could be menakar shein of etav, you could floss and see that there's no basar ben hashinayim. According to the Rambam, Rambam that the reason is Basar Beishan Hashinayim, so then even in such a case you'd have to wait 6 hours, because apparently he doesn't rely on flossing. On the other hand, if you ate Basar and 6 hours passed, according to the Rambam, you don't need to floss anymore, because even if there is Basar Beishan Hashinayim, we assume that it's considered like it's totally digested, and it's not considered Basar anymore. Whereas according to Rashi, if Basar remains Beishan Hashinayim, you would then need to floss it out, even after 6 hours. So these are the chumras in each direction, according to what the concern is, bein the Rashi, bein the Rambam. So elakami yisha. So what we really meant to ask, though, is how much time do you have to wait bein gvina le basar, between eating gvina and eating basar, between eating cheese and eating meat. Amalei v'lo klum. He said, between gvina and basar, you don't have to wait at all. As soon as you do kinoch v'adacha and etilas yadayim, then you can eat basar right away. And that's how Rov Rishonim understand. Gufa, am Rav Chista, achol basar asu lechol gvina. Rav Chista had said that if you eat meat, you're not allowed to eat cheese right away afterwards. Gvina mutu lechol basar. But if you eat cheese, you are allowed to eat meat right away afterwards. Amalei Ravacha bar Yosef Rav Chista, basar shemen ha-shinayim mahu, basar that remains between your teeth for the next suda, is that still called basar, and you're not allowed to eat gvina until you remove that basar? Or do you say that the time of that basar is gone, it's no longer called basar? So kari alei, he said about this shayla, the pasuk ha-basar odenu bein shineihem, that you see the pasuk refers to it as basar, even though it's still between the teeth. So apparently you're not allowed to eat cheese until you remove the basar from the teeth. The Ran writes that even though the basar is bein hashinayim, is called basar, someone who eats basar and waits a little bit, and then he finds basar bein shina, if he doesn't have to wait 6 hours from then, from the time that he took the basar from the mouth, it's from the original achila. But you still need kinuach hapeh after he removes the basar from the mouth. Amr Marukva, famous comment of Marukva. Anola hamilsa chola bar chamra legabe abba. As far as waiting between fleishiks and milchiks, I am like vinegar, the son of wine, in comparison to my father. My father is so much better than me. Dilu abba ki ava achil bisra inna lo ava achil gvina ad l'machar ad hashta. That when my father would eat meat, he would wait a full 24 hours until he ate cheese. Dilu ana. I just don't need it in the same suda, but in another suda, I'd be willing to eat it. So that's as far as I'm willing to go. Now, presumably, Mar Ukva wasn't doing wrong, so we assume that whatever Mar Ukva did is correct in halacha. So there's a major discussion in Rishonim, what a person actually has to wait. Rabbi Matam and the Bahag, quoted in Tosos and Kuf Dalet and Beis, says, well, you don't need to wait, you just need to wash out the mouth. Tosos over here, you need a new meal. Sudas achrita, that's what Barukva did. So you wait till you have the next meal, whenever that may be. It could be an hour later, it's a new meal. That's good enough. Rov Rishonim assume that no, the amount of time that they typically had between meals, that's what Marukva waited in. How much is that? That's 6 hours. So Shulchan Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and the Ramah quotes Yesh Medaktikim, that a person should wait 6 hours. Now the Ramah only has it as a Yesh Medaktikim. The Ramah thinks Meikar Adin, it's not necessary to wait the full 6 hours, right? The lashon of the Ramah is the Ramah writes three different things. He says v'yeshom dein tzarich lamtin sheishos rak miyadim silei kubiruch birch sabozim mutzal ide kinuach v'adacha. First he says v'yeshomrim they can just do kinuach v'adacha and that's good enough. And v'aminik haposhut b'medina sales lamtin achil basar shah achas. He says the minig is to wait 1 hour and then eat gvina. But then he says, but the medaktikim are more careful. So he has three madregas that the medaktikim wait 6 hours. But then the shach writes that a kol mi sheyeshba reyach Torah should wait 6 hours. So we assume that means, like the Levush says, kol mi sheyeshba reyach Torah means even if you have like a little bit of a sense of what the Torah wants from you, you should wait 6 hours. Kafachayim understands different. Kol mi sheyeshba reyach Torah is like, ooh, a maila, someone who has a reyach Torah waits 6 hours, but regular people would wait a lot less. So that's the different shitos that exist in halacha. So obviously the minute to wait 6 hours is the one that seems to be most firmly grounded in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama says Yesh Medak, to give the Shach says anyone has Re'ech Torah, so that seems to be the strongest minute. However, the idea that there is a minute of in certain Ashkenazi Jews to wait 1 hour, so that's also firmly grounded in the Rama. The Rama seems to say that was the standard minug of the time. Why do people sometimes wait into the six? Where does that come from? So that's the lashon of the Rambam where he says kishesh shaos. Others point out that kishesh might mean five, kishesh might mean seven, you know, around six. But probably what the Rambam means is that you don't have to have exactly on the clock that it's exactly 6 hours. But kishesh kamoshesh shaos, you wait, you approximate that it should be about 6 hours. There may be differences between the Mechaber, there certainly are differences between the Mechaber and the Ramah. When the Mechaber paskin 6 hours maker adin, and the Ramah says that it's only Yesh Metaktikin, nafkamin is for people who maybe are a little under the weather, the Aruch HaShulchan says they can certainly rely on the most lenient Rishonim. At what age you have children, be makbid to wait the full 6 hours, different approaches in poskim, when to start that. You might imagine that for a Sephardi Jew, you'd want to start that earlier than for an Ashkenazi Jew. Okay, so the poskim suggests, I think, on a whole, that when a kid is 5 or 6 years old, you get him started on waiting, but not the full 6 hours, and you slowly build him up. By the time he's 8 or 9, he should be 9 years old or so, they should be waiting the full amount of time, the full 6 hours. Okay, so that's that issue, where Marukva says that I am like vinegar, the son of wine. So once we're on that mode of people who are looking at their parents and saying they're so much better than me. Amar Shmuel, Anala Hamilsa, Chalabar Chamer Legabe Abba. So Shmuel says, in comparison to my father, there's another thing that I am like vinegar, the son of wine. Dilu Abba Havasayir Nechsei Trezim Nibiyoma. My father used to go and check out all of his properties and inspect and investigate what's going on his properties twice a day. Now I only do it once a day. Shmuel the Tameh, and this is Shmuel the Shitaso, Damar Shmuel, Mandasayir Nechsei Kol Yoma, Mashkach is Istira. That if a person checks his properties every day, he's going to find money. Meaning, it's a good way to make sure you don't lose money by being on top of your investments. If a person's not on top of his investments and he has other people in charge, who knows what could happen? You could end up losing a lot of money. Marshal understands the Gemara Kipshuto, that tzaddikim are medaktik amamonim, the pachim ketanim, the Yaakov Vina goes back. For the tzaddikim, because it's honestly earned money, they're careful about their money. They don't throw away their money. Meaning, a tzaddik is supposed to view money that he has as a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts him with, to do right with. And if he just throws it all away, then it means that he doesn't view it in that way. However, in the Sefer Sheim Olam, the Chafetz Chaim writes that the Gemara is talking about kinyanim ruchniim that a person has. That Shmuel is saying that his father was a great chassid because he would do cheshbon nefesh twice a day, and Shmuel only did a cheshbon nefesh once a day. And he's saying someone who's man desire mishka chastira, meaning when a person does a cheshbon nefesh, he's going to find things that require fixing, that require correcting. So the more you do it, the more you'll conduct yourself in the proper way, and you'll engage in self improvement, and that's what life is about. It's about always improving and always growing. Abba Havasai Nitzik Kol Yoma V'Yoma. So Abaye Havasai Nitzik Kol Yoma V'Yoma. Abaye would go and check out his properties every day. Yomuchad Pogabar Rise Didari Pischa Du Ufe. One day he found his sharecropper was carrying a bundle of wood right out of Abaye's field, clearly stealing it. So Armleh, Abaye said to his sharecropper, Hani Leicha, hey, where are you going with all that very expensive, very fine, good wood that you're taking from my property? I figured I'd help you. I'd schlep it to your house for you. Even though it's not normally part of my job, that's what I was trying to do. And he was just trying to give an excuse. So Abaye said to him, it's a good thing the Rabbanan already advised me to check the field frequently, and that way I was able to catch you in the act, and I didn't lose out. The Chafetz Chaim in Sheim Olam says this is also not to be taken literally. The Aris over here is the Yetzer Hara, and because the Yetzer Hara is like, an aris is a sharecropper. He takes a little bit of everything. So the Yetzer Hara has like his hands in every single thing that a person does. And Abaye was thinking about the Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara wants to do something. So he's saying, why? I mean, Abaye was had an idea to do something. And he said to his Yetzer Hara, hey, why do you want to do this? And the Yetzer Hara says, oh, it's for you. It's L'Shei Mitzvah. It's all good. Abaye says, no, Kvar Kanmucha Rabbanan, that I don't act without thinking. Meaning the Rabbanan already told me that I'm supposed to do Cheshbon HaNefesh. So my Cheshbon HaNefesh tells me that I understand that this is a Yetzer Hara, that this is not a Yetzer Tov. So the Gemara brings another Maaser. Rav Asi have a Sayin Nichse Kol Yoma. Rav Asi used to check his properties all the time, every day, and like Shmuel told him, he says that you're supposed to do. But Amar Heichaninu Kalani Astiru Demar Shmuel, he never found anything wrong. He had really good managers of his different properties. He never found that there was any problem. So he said, oh, Shmuel said, you're going to make so much money, you're going to save all this money by going and check. I don't see it. I don't see that I'm ever saving any money. Yom Echad, Chazit Sinor Debitka Ba'are. One day he saw that there was a hole in the Amas Hamayim, by the edge of the Amas Hamayim, and that was about to cause a major flood that was going to flood out all of his payrolls and ruin his entire field. So quickly, Shakli Glime, he took his coat, Karche, and he wrapped it around the hole, and Osi Begave, and he put it to sort of plug up the hole, Ramakala, and he yelled, Oswinshi Sacharua, until people were able to come and really plug the hole properly so that his field wouldn't be flooded. Amarash Kakhtinu Lukulu Istri Demar Shmuel. All of the money that Shmuel said that I was going to save here in one shot, it was all worth it. So yeah, many times you're going to go and you're going to see that things are running smoothly. Very often things are running smoothly because you go frequently. But that one time it's worth it. For that one time where there could have been a major event that he was able to prevent. Amr Rav Idi bar Oven, Amr Rav Yitzchak bar Ashyan. Mayim Rishon a mitzvah. Washing before a meal is a mitzvah midrabanan. Va'achronim chova. But Mayim Achronim after a meal is an absolute chiyuv. Tosfos raises the question, what's the difference whether you call it a chova or a mitzvah? A mitzvah, you also have an obligation to be mekayim, like we're going to see that legabe rishus, mitzvah is called a chova. So what difference is it that mayim rishonim, what difference is there between mayim rishonim and mayim achronim, one called a mitzvah, the other a chova? So Tosfos says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, nafkamina is, if it's a shas melchama, the Gemara in Erevin says, naf yud zayin, that you're potter from tilis yadayim. So the Gemara says, you're only potter from mayim rishonim, which is a mitzvah, but not for Mayim Achronim, because it's a chova mipnei sakana. So since it's mipnei sakana, that b'shas milchama, even b'shas milchama, a person has to wash Mayim Achronim. We often think of b'shas milchama is not so nogeh. We have a chayal sitting right here, right? We know that this is something the Jewish people actually face. The halachas gedolos, the Bahag, Tosos quote, says differently. The Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah that requires a bracha. Mayim Achronim is a chova mipnei sakana, so therefore it doesn't require bracha, because we recite brachos even on mitzvot rabbanan. That's what the Gemara tells us in Masech HaSukkah, Masech HaShabbos, Heichon Sivanu. Where do we find how can we say the words Asher Kishonim Tosef Sivanu on Ner Chanukah, on Mikra Megillah, right? These are only mitzvot midrabbanan. How can we say Vitzivanu? So the Gemara tells us either it's from Losasur or it's from Shalavicha V'yageitcha Zekeinacha V'yomrlach. But there is in the Torah a requirement to listen to the Rabbanan. So we say a bracha even on a mitzvah rabbanan. But that which is labeled a chova only on account of sakana, there is no bracha. So that's the Mayim Rishonim versus Mayim Achronim. Meisvei ask the Gemara on Rav Yitzchak bar Ashiyan. The Braisa tells us Mayim Rishonim ve'achronim chova. Both Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim are chova. Emtsayim, the water that you use in the middle of the meal, between eating one tafshil and another, rishus, that's a rishus. So you see that, though, that both Rishonim and Achronim are chova, you know, not that there's a difference between them. It says, well, mitzvah, the gabi rishus, chova karila. No, my Rishonim are really a mitzvah. But mitzvah, in comparison to a rishus, we're going to call it a chova, because it's a higher level than rishus. Gufa, going back to the core inyan, my Rishonim ve'achronim chova, emtsayim rishus. Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim is a chova. Mayim Emtsayim is a rishus. Rishonim note them bein bekli bein al gabe karka. Mayim Rishonim, you're allowed to pour the water out either into a kli or onto the ground. Achronim ain't notlin el bekli, but Mayim Achronim has to be poured into a kli. Va'armila ain't notlin al gabe karka. Others say it's not about being put into a kli. It's just that when you wash, it can't go on the ground. So Mayim Benayu, what's the difference between these two lishonos? According to both of them, you're not allowed allowed to be matil the water on the karka. So you can benayu kinsa. The nafkamina between the two lashonos is, are you allowed to wash mayim achronim on little splinters of wood? According to the first lashon, no, because it's not a kli. According to the second lashon, yes, because it's not al gabe karka. And the assumption is that when it's only when it's al gabe karka, is there a ruach ra'ah that's shora on the mayim achronim? But short of that, there's not going to be a ruach ra'ah. Magen Avram writes in Siman Kuf Pei Aleph that according to that, when the karka has a is not just ground, there's a floor, then you're allowed to be matil on the ritzvah, according to this, because there's no ruach ra on it. However, the Levush writes that the fact that we're matil al gabe etzim dakim is so that it doesn't puddle, it doesn't gather in one place, because the ruach ra is shora and mayim when it puddles together. So if according to that, if it's a karka merutzefes, if you have a nice floor, then certainly it would be aser, because certainly the water would be evident and would not just absorb into the floor. So okay, mayim rishonim notlin. Another difference between mayim rishonim mayim achronim is mayim rishonim notlin bein bechamin bein betzonin. You could use any temperature of water for mayim rishonim achronim ein notlin ela betzonin. Mayim achronim has to only be cold water. Because the hot water will not properly remove the zuama from your yadayim, from your hands. And that's really the whole purpose of the mayim achronim. Mayim rishonim notlin bein bechamin bein betzonin. So we said that you're allowed to use hot water or cold water for mayim rishonim. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yanai, lo shanu ela she'ein hayad soledes ben. Aval yad soledes ben ein notlin ben. There's a limit to that as well, meaning you can't use boiling hot water if the water is so hot that it's yad soledes ben, that your hand withdraws from the heat of the water. Then you should not use that for your mayim rishonim. V'ika demasna seifa. Some have that comment said in regard to the seifa about mayim achronim, that achronim ain't not the betzonim. We said that you're only allowed to use cold water for mayim achronim. Abba b'chamin lo, you're not allowed to use hot water. Amar Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Bianai, lo shonu ela sheyatzal ledes ben, avalein yatzal ledes ben notlin. That's what we say, that which we say that it's usher to use hot water for mayim achronim, it's only if it's so hot that it's yatzal ledes bo. But if it's below yatzal ledes bo, then you could be notel. How's it possible to be notel something that's yatzal ledes bo? So isn't that the definition that your hand can't handle it? So no, the definition of yatzal ledes bo is not that it's too hot for your hand to touch it, is that if you weren't expecting it to be hot, your immediate reaction would be to pull back your hand. But it could be that if you're mentally prepared for it, that it's not too hot to actually run the water over your hands. That's why it's so hard to measure yad soled dispo, because whenever you're consciously measuring it, you're expecting the heat. So mechlal derishonim afli shayad soled dispo mutter. So it sounds like mayim rishonim is mutter to wash with warm water, even though it's yad soled dispo. According to this second version of what we're saying, that the whole chiluk between yad soled dispo, not yad soled dispo, is only within mayim achronim, and mayim rishonim is allowed to be warmer, not like the first lashon that mayim rishonim cannot be done with the water that's yatzal ledes bo. But the impression you certainly get from this entire gemara is that the idea of mayim achronim is that it's to be ma'avir es hazuama melech sedomis, something like that. That there's something on your hands that you need to get rid of, and that's the purpose of the mayim of the mayim achronim. However, it's not the only sugya in Shas about mayim achronim. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis implies that Rabbi Zuhumai says that yadayim mizuhamos are psulos lebracha. That whereas Rabbi Yudam Rav says mayim achronim is a chiyuv that's derived from viyisam kedoshim, nothing to do with zuama or sedomis. Viyisam kedoshim, that kedusha requires a netila prior to birch samazon. There's also a ma'isa in Maseches Yuma Daf Pegimlam Beis that tells about how mayim achronim, failure to do mayim achronim, got a woman killed. We're not going to go through the whole ma'isa, but because a person didn't do mayim achronim, they were able to see what the person had for lunch, and they were able to be meramis to his wife that the husband told me to tell you something, and the remez is this is what you served him for lunch, and it's only because they saw it in his beard because he never washed properly after the meal, and the husband got so angry that he killed the wife. So that's apparently another reason for Mayim Achronim, and a fourth reason of all the Mekubalim, right, that Al Pi Kabbalah, it's very important to Mayim Achronim, and there could be many Nafkaminas, like Bizman Azeh, that we don't have Melech Sodomus. If it's all about Yadayim Mezuhamos, or V'yisem Kedoshim, then the Chiyuv would be Shaykh Bizman Azeh. But if it's only about Melech Sodomus, then there's no Chiyuv Bizman Azeh. What if you forgot and you remember within the middle of Birch Samazan, if it's that it's Asr to be Mevarech B'Yadayim Mezuhamos, or you need Kedusha for a Bracha, so probably you can't continue saying the Bracha until you do Mayim Achronim. But if the Chiyuv is because of Melech Sodomus, it could be that could wait till the end of benching. Or what if you remember after Birchas HaMazon? Many nafkaminas that there might be between these reasons. I have a long, probably my longest piece in my second Sefer, Simon Yud Beis, on this topic of Mayim Achronim. I wish there was time, no time for now. Okay, says the Gemara further. Emtsayim, when it comes to washing in the middle of the meal, Rishus. That's only a Rishus. Amram Nachum Lo Shanu Ela Bein Tavshil LeTavshil. That's only between one dish and another. Avu Bein Tavshil LeGvina, but between a Tavshil Shel Basar and cheese, Tavshil Basar and cheese, meaning you ate cheese and now you want to eat a Tavshil Shel Basar Chova. Then you have to wash your hands. It has to be that way that you ate the cheese first and you want to eat the basar, because otherwise you're going to have to wait. So if you ate cheese, now you want to eat the basar. So then a chova to do nesilas yadayim, because we're worried that some of the lachluchas, some of the moisture of the gavina, is still on your hands, and you know you're going to eat with those melech cans. You're going to eat basar. That's going to be a violation of eating basar together with chalav. Amar vidu b'ridu b'chiyav neima amru mayim achronim chova shemelach sedomus yesha mesamei yasei yinayim. Why is mayim achronim chova? Because of this melach sedomus that can cause a person blindness if it gets into his eyes. So you have to wash that off after you eat. You have to be choshesh that some of that melach sedomus is mixed in with your regular salt. So that's why the chacham made this takana, in order that a person shouldn't blind himself. Amar Abayi mishtakach bikurta bakura, that this melach is you only find like a single crumb of it in a whole kur of salt, meaning it's a very little, a very tiny amount, and still it's so potent that Chazal were so choshish, they were so worried about it. Amar Ravach b'Reid Rav LeRavashi kol milcha mai. What about someone who measures his salt to sell it, and he has to be choshish that he touched the melach? What's the din? Is he chayvin until sidayim after he measures out the salt from a chashash of melech sedomus that maybe it's attached to his hands? Amalei lo mibayin. No, he doesn't have to worry about it because he touched a lot of salt. So since he touched a lot of salt, I'm sorry, lo mibayin. There's no doubt that he has to wash his hands. He touched if when you eat and you may touch some salt while you eat, then you have to wash your hands. So if you're being osek dafka with salt, then of course you have to wash your hands, because then there's an even greater risk of touching the salt. So nowadays, the way we have salt is not the way they had back in those days. I mean, they used to have a salt dish that they would dip food in salt, so it was like an open dish. We typically use salt shakers, where a person never actually touches the salt itself, nor does he dip anything in the salt. That's why in Shulchan Aruch, when Shulchan Aruch talks about using the same salt dish for milchik and fleishik, it doesn't relate at all to our experience, because that's talking about taking food and dipping it in a salt dish. You'd imagine you're going to need a separate one for milchik and fleishik, but when it's a salt shaker, you don't have those same concerns. You may or may not have other concerns, but you don't have those same concerns. Okay, so now the Gemara moves on to eight different things that Abaye thought he understood, until Rabbah corrected him and said, no, there's a different reason for it. Amar Rabbi, Meresh Havamina. So first item is, Abai says, I used to think, the fact that we don't wash Mayim Achronim onto the ground, Mishum Zuama, is because it's disgusting. The water is going to smell, and it's just going to be disgusting in the house. Amarli Marin, until Rabbah told me, that's not the reason, it's Mishum Deshai Ruach Ra Alayu. It's because there's a Ruach Ra on that water, and we don't want a Ruach Ra in the house. That's what we're concerned about. Va'amar Abaye, second thing, Meresh Havamina, I used to think, Haidelo Shakal Midi Mipturah Kinaka Dinish, Kasa the Mishti, that which were makbid not to take something from the table when someone at the table is holding a kos in his hand and is drinking, is shemi yered dvar kalkala b'su'uda, is that the person might get angry that you're taking something while he's drinking because he wants it, and when he gets angry while he's in the middle of drinking, he's going to choke. So amrli mar, Rabbi told me that's not the reason. Mishum dekashi l'ruach tzarda. It's because that could cause someone who's, the person who's holding the kos, a certain type of ruach shtus, a certain type of mental illness that's going to happen because of ruach ra'os that happened at a meal when a person is holding a kos. V'lo amaran, but that concern is only el deshak of lo mahader. If what you took from the table is something that you did not put back, avu mishkal v'aduri, but if you took something and you put it right back, less than, but then there's no reason to be mak, but it's not going to be mazik anybody. V'lo amaran, and we also only said el chutz l'arba amos. If when you took the item, you moved it more than 4 amos from the table, avul toch arba amos, less than ba. If it's within dalet amos, you never moved it more than 4 amos, no concern. V'lo amaran ella midid tzarech l'sudasa. The whole concern is only if it's something that was needed and that was being used during the suda. V'lo midid tzarech l'sudasa, but something that has not been used during the suda anyway, less than ba, there's no hakpada. So it could be that you have to you're allowed to take it from the shulchan even when someone is drinking, because it's not going to be mazikim if it's not something that's tzarech l'sudasa. Marbar avashi kapra afilu asiso ubuchna detavli. He would be makbid not to even remove from the table that which used to grind the spices, because that's considered midi tzarech l'sudasa. That's also considered something that is tzarech l'sudasa. It doesn't have to be food. Anything that's necessary for the ongoing meal. Then the third thing that Abaye misunderstood, v'amar Abaye mereshav mina, hay dekanshi nashvara, that which people are makbid to gather the crumbs of their food after they eat, mishum minakirusa. I assume that was just cleanliness. You want to clean up your house after you have a meal. Amali mar, but Rabbi explained to me that's not why it is. Mishum dekashi laniyusa, because if you don't gather the crumbs and you just leave it for people to trample on, that's kashala anius. People, it's going to cause people to become poor because it shows that you're being mezalzel in food and you're just letting people trample over the food. So such an attitude toward food. So the Rashi writes in Maseches Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, the sar that's memuna on mezonos, that's memuna on parnasa, is called nakir, and he's very makbid on cleaning up the food. He doesn't want crumbs all over the place. And the sar that's memuna on anius is called naval. Rashi writes, and he comes into the house where they're not knowing minig nikius, and he's going to then become dominant. Okay, whatever that means. Hahu gavra, so there was a guy, Dav Mahadra le Sarada Aniyusa, that he was certainly, it was a great threat for him up in Shemayim that the Sarav Aniyus should have control over him, meaning that he was going to be poor. Velova Yachle, but somehow the Sarav Aniyus, even though he was always going after him, was unable to overcome this person. To Kazar Anashvara Tuva, because he was so careful to clean up the crumbs after a meal. Yomachad Karach Rifta Ayable. One day he was eating bread and he was sitting on grass by a swamp. So Amar Hashavad enough will be a day. So this malach, this sar that's Mamuna Ananiya, says, oh, okay, there's no way, you can't sweep that, right? There's no way he's going to be able to clean up the crumbs. Now I'll finally be able to get him. What does he do? He brings a lawnmower and he cuts all the grass and he throws all the grass into the river. Shami dekamer, and they heard the voice of that tsar that's Mamuna Ananiya say, Vai dafke hu gavra mi beise. He's thrown me out of the house, meaning he's outsmarted me. There's nothing I'm ever going to be able to do to overcome this person. V'amar Abaye, a fourth mimer that Abaye needed to be corrected on. I thought the reason people don't drink the foam on top of a drink is because it's disgusting. He said, no, it's because it causes a certain type of disease where a person has a lot of mucus come out of their nose all the time. Drinking the foam is bad for that disease. If one blows on it, that causes headaches. If you push it off with your hand, that's bad for anius. So what do? Wait till it settles, and when the drink settles, then you can enjoy your drink. The karsam de chamra for the illness called karsam, that's when you drink the foam on top of wine. Shichra So shichra, the way to cure that is by drinking beer. The shichra for the illness that you get from drinking the foam on top of beer, maya, you need to drink water. The maya, if for the illness that you get from drinking the foam on top of water, lesa takanta, there's no way to cure that. So a person who's initially poor and can never drink anything more than water, so he's always going to be poor because there's no cure for what his problem is. Then the fifth thing. I thought the reason we don't take vegetables from a bundle of vegetables that the gardener sells together to eat it, we first untie the bundle and then we eat it. Mishum de mexi kraftenusa, that we don't want to appear gluttonous that we're eating a whole bundle, so we're patient, we untie it and we take one. Amli mar mishum de kashil kshafim. But Rabbi said no, it's all about kishuf. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rafuna v'kazli barba. Chris and Rabbi Rafun were going on a boat. They saw a certain noble woman, Osun Ba'adayu, and she said, let me sit with you. Lois Fua. They didn't want to sit her with them. They didn't want her on the boat with them. Amra Milsa. So she said some sort of kishuf, Asarta La Arba, and that locked the boat down. The boat was unable to move. Amru Inu Milsa. So Chris and Rabbi Rafuna said another incantation or something, Sharyua, and it untied the boat. Amru Mayav. So she said, what am I supposed to do to you? How do you guys do better? How do you know kishuv better than me? You obviously don't clean yourselves in the Beis HaKisei with a shard. You don't kill any lice on your clothing. And you obviously don't eat vegetables from bundles, because that's why you're able to avoid all the kishuv spells that I would otherwise be able to cast. But if you didn't have these hanhagos, I would have had power over you. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up with these 6th Tanhaga tomorrow.